Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where there is Post, covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. It's another Monday evening, and of course, Edwin's with me once again. Hi, Edwin.
G'day, Martin. I don't know about you, but I keep on saying that 2023 is the year of the hustle. But to politicians, I get the feeling there's an election coming along. It seems to be the year of hypocrisy on steroids.
I think hypocrisy on steroids is dead right. They're all up in the ante, right? So Mr. Mims has now come out and said, well, if you vote for us in New South Wales, this is the Labor Party, we'll give stamp duty free grants to any first time buyers up to $800,000. How about that then?
Look, it's all a bit of a, I think it's, yeah, smoke and mirrors. But then again, you and I keep on saying, we've been saying it for a very long time, even since before we started doing this podcast with, we concur on the fact that a lot of politicians own property, and whether it was 2000 and after 2008, early 90s, and the trend before that as well, the downward trend before that in the 80s. I mean, it was always politicians always trying to save their ass. But I mean, the hypocrisy just keeps on going. I mean, the promising so much, and as you know, and our viewers know, I'm very passionate about the rental side of things and how renters are treated and how we treat renters and so forth and how the current policies and legislation and everything around it is really, and the industry is really not gelling. It's really not rallying around the current issues that the renters have in this current environment. And then you've got, on the one hand, Mintz going, we're going to introduce better legislation to which we're going to talk a little bit about, with regards to his policies around pet friendly rentals. And you got one of his MPs saying, bugger off, any one of you that want to rent my place, if you've got a pet, you can nick off.
Yeah, well, you know what they say about one rule for us and one rule for them, right? This is another classic example, isn't it, where the politicians go down one route for themselves but then actually do a different route for everybody else. It's classic, and unfortunately, wherever you look in politics, that's what you see.
Look, and this is the uncanny thing. This is what's going to look the reality on the ground at grassroots level. What happened in the last downward trend? What happened with when we had issues? When the market rose and there was a bit of a rental crisis in 15-16, if you recall, there was I spoke back then and I was putting stuff out back then as to how the lack of control and the lack of state government funding of Fair Trade New South Wales to really put in place an independent standalone body, a commission, a department just to focus on property, the property issues, underquoting, overquoting, and the like. Because there has been such a lack of resources that have been given to Fair Trading. We had issues with properties that anything that had walls literally got turned into a room or a so-called makeshift granny flat and got rented out. Now, guess what, Martin? We're seeing that again, and except it's more rampant. It's closer to the central hubs. Before, we would see that in your Dune sides, your Blacktowns, your Seven Hills, Mount Druitt's, all these areas, or even Ingleburn and further out west than Liverpool. But now you're actually seeing these things happening closer to the central hubs, to your Chatswoods, your Carlingfords, and I dare say there'll be some of this shit happening in the around the Shire as well, and other parts that one would otherwise think that there are it's not happening in my backyard because we're urban, affluent, we have a different lifestyle here. Look, it's happening all over Sydney, and this is and I'm hearing more and more stories, and we're going to again touch a little bit about it in which our chatter section. With what the local chatters are saying, and they've got no shame. They're just putting it out there, saying it out loud as to what they're doing, how they're converting the homes into room lettings.
Yeah, and I tell you, Edwin, even down here in regional New South Wales, it's happening down here too. So a lot of people are finding all sorts of ways to try and generate more income from their property. And so it's a very much the same idea of letting out individual rooms, multiple rooms, never mind whether it's legal, never mind whether you need to get fire alarms and other things fitted. They're just doing it.
And they're doing it because they can, because a lot of the local authorities, and as I said, Fair Trade, they're not auditing the property management roles and physical properties as well. But having said that, a lot of these, I would dare say, 80-90% of these properties are being privately leased out anyways. But there's still a big chunk. There's still a 10%, in my view, that are still being managed by licensed real estate agents, which is shameful. If you recall, something that George often talks about is the issue with that young lass that literally got burned alive in property over at Doonside. Now, I know that story really, really closely because the office that I was contracted to at the time when that incident happened, or 3 months before the incident happened, I spoke to the licensee in charge at the time and I said, listen, you got to get rid of these managers because the landlord does not want to maintain the property. They're not interested in maintaining it. It's not even interested in putting in place proper and adequate smoke alarms. And he went to the other office, to a Century 21 office, and 3 months down the track, that incident happened, and it's now a major issue around that. We had a loss of life. But these are the things that are, these are the stories that are reported. These are the stories that we find out about because they become, it involves a death. But what about all the other things that get sorted outside of the news media, that get sorted outside of the tribunal, that get mitigated in between, that aren't reported and aren't recorded, is more importantly. And there's so much. And ones that people are even not complaining about because they're too scared to complain because they feel that they've got no option. Where else could they go?
No, good point, Edwin. It's certainly quite a significant issue. And I think we're going to see a lot more of it as the costs continue to escalate and the pressures rise. But talking about pressures rising, let's talk about the WeChat chats in China, right? Because it's really quite amazing what's going on. So having now had all the lockdowns, they've sort of unlocked. And they're actually looking towards the property sector in China to try and help save the economy. So the banks are being encouraged to lend more. The property sector is being encouraged to borrow more. But there's one missing part to that, isn't there, though? Consumers ain't buying it.
No, they're not buying it. And as we spoke in the previous podcast, we said that the WeChat chatters were telling us basically anybody with a pulse could go, as long as they were under 65, could co-sign a contract of sale or a purchase. In the policies that the local governments were encouraged to encouraging the banking system to lessen the or loosen the borrowing power that people would otherwise have, but they're not buying it. And so now what you've got is you've got this report in the social media mainstream over there in China, where basically points out the ten industries that are facing the biggest challenges, and number one there is real estate, because they're saying, look, regardless of all these all these incentives, all these policies, all these as we said, the local government effective, like you one would think, it's in line like a state government type of scenario, pushing for incentives. Hold on a minute. It's like a state government, isn't it? Aren't they also giving out money hand over fist so that people can come into the market? Anybody would think that New South Wales has become a state of China, like Victoria. But that's for another chat for another day. So, but the people aren't buying it, Martin. People aren't buying it, and they're keeping away in droves. So it's basically sink or swim. The CCP sold the local governments. Kids, you're on your own. You either sink or you learn to swim.
Right, and so this particular bit here is quite significant, right? Because basically it's saying they've got no options. This is the local local authorities, but to sell land, right? Because that's all they've got left.
Well, that's right. So this is, so the CCP, the central government, basically saying to the local governments, listen, this is an administrative order, number 43, that was actually gazetted or put in place in 2014. And they've been reminded. I mean, it was all forgotten because it was all hunky-dory. Everything, you know, everything was okay until now. So the central government are basically saying, "Listen, we're not going to bail you out now. You've got no option. You kids, you're on your own. Yeah, sink or swim." And this is the an official government document. It's administrative order number 43 that got. Put in place in 2014. So that's it. They've got the local government, so they're going to be selling valuable land and they're going to be selling very valuable assets in order to stay afloat. Because, you know, who'd have thought that governments over there could literally go broke? But then again, could our state governments and local governments go broke here, mate?
Well, it makes you wonder. Certainly, it's interesting in China, of course, because the central administration basically has taken the COVID restrictions away and have sort of thrown it down to the local communities and the local states and entities to be able to actually do stuff. So in a way, they can wash their hands and say, it's not our problem anymore. It's over to you guys.
Yeah, that's it. And like everything else, like also the, yeah, the anything to do with the lockdowns or COVID or ongoing pandemics, it's really going, you know, throwing it back over to the local governments. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, how it all evolves. But look, one thing for sure is that I keep on saying over and over again, it's no easy ride. And regardless of how much Penny Wong thinks, how great of an impact Penny Wong thinks she's had over there with talks with her counterpart over there, it's a lot of our industries here that would be otherwise relying on the Chinese people to basically, you know, that's in the beverage industry, also with, you know, the fish industry, fisheries and so forth, and shellfish industries. You know, I think they've got a lot more pain to go through. But then on the other hand as well, we're not going to be having a lot of these the materials coming through our way as well. So I can only see that construction prices, as I in my 20 predictions for 2023, construction prices will rise by anywhere up to 20, potentially even more, closer to 30% on top of the exorbitant prices that are being charged by tradies currently. I know in the WeChat chatter groups, in the local WeChat chatter groups, you can't get laborers or middle brothers for less than $600 a day. I mean, they've been taken over to WA. There are a few developers that have moved over to WA, and there's a lot of work happening over there. And the pecking order, if you've got no skill, you literally want to learn on the job, they're willing to pay you $300. They call that the little brother or little sister. They're willing to pay you $300 per day, cash in hand, we're talking about. Then a middle brother, somebody with a few months' skill, will get $450. A little sister that will look after the site and feed the crew on site will get $400 a day. And somebody with skills anywhere between a year to 3 years will be earning $600 a day. And I'm talking about cash money, cash in hand. So this is what's happening, and these people have been taken over to WA. So more pressure, more stress on the construction and building industry here in New South Wales and in Sydney.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to a construction firm operating in the Illawarra the other day, and he was saying three things, quite interesting. Firstly, terrible trouble getting any traders at all, you know, at any price, because there's so much demand. And that demand includes, of course, over the other side of the Great Divide because of all the floods and remediation after the floods. And then you've got WA as well. The second is that the number of projects that are half finished, in other words, they've got so far but can't complete them, has gone through the roof. So they've got a huge work in progress, binder of activity and therefore financial commitments, but they can't finish anything. And the third is that flow of products, particularly from China, has already gone to a slow crawl. And so they still can't get, even basic materials at any price just because they're not available. So this particular entity that's been around for a long, long time, they're really saying, we're not sure how much further we can go on with this, you know, because it's all falling apart.
Look, it is. And this is what a lot of people don't understand. It's I also get it from our legal eagles and our people that are involved in the tribunal. Obviously, that's, you know, that conversation that, that I have with my legal colleagues and our friends. And yeah, they're telling me that there's more and more tribunal matters being heard over delays of construction, builders unable to complete, or if they have, or people getting getting fed up and literally closing the doors on the builders, or builders asking for more in order to finish. I mean, it is just, there's so much pain out there. There is so look, it's, but on the other side of that coin, as I say, is the for the traders is make hay whilst the sun shines.
Absolutely right. And just quickly on the local WeChat chats, and just to emphasize what you said, you know, previously, if it's got walls, turn it into a room and let it out. That's the strategy, isn't it?
That's it. Apart from all the other stuff that we mentioned earlier on, it's really sad. It really, really is sad. But again, it just goes to show that this is what I say, and you and I say, there are certain parts of Sydney, certain areas that are going to be prime real estate for purchase for people. It's going to be in areas where there's a lot of rental properties, because one of the things that we do have here in Australia, which can work against you, it can also work in your benefit, is by having nosy neighbors. So if you've got a nosy neighbor, they'll generally try to work out what you're trying to do, what sort of development, what you're trying to do to a property. But if you're in a community that's predominantly a rental community, well, who's going to dob on who doing illegal works and putting in three, four extra bathrooms in a four bedroom house that they've just converted into an eight bedroom house, with en suites, in order to break that rental ceiling? And that's what the WeChat chatterers have been talking about, and they have been talking about that for a little while. So, as I said before, they're looking at jumping into the market, because they feel the bottom of the market is going to be the end of February, for whatever reasons they have, or I mean they chat about it, but that is where in the areas that they're looking at is where they will be they will create the bottom themselves by coming in and buying these properties, right? So it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because they're going to jump in. It sort of creates that bottom there anyway, and it's going to lift the property values up, because for that reason. So they're going to be looking for specific properties in specific suburbs, in specific areas, obviously, where you've got also the tenants that will live in rooms, be accommodated into rooms, into the share accommodation scenario. And that's how they're going to break the rental ceiling, Mark.
Yeah, and the point there is, if you break the rental ceiling, then you can afford to pay more for the property in the first place, because it's effectively more valuable to you. And that's going to then influence the overall price in that particular area. So that's the sort of the feedback loop we're talking about here.
That's correct. It sort of becomes that feedback loop.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about another feedback loop. So the New South Wales Labor is going to abolish stamp duty for first home buyers. Let's just bribe a few more people to vote for us. Of course, there's an election coming up quite soon now. So effectively, this is now it's going to abolish it for first time buyers up to $800,000, right? So, well, you know, all of the research shows it, Edwin, that this doesn't help. All it does is just to get a few more people in the market, but it doesn't really help with housing affordability. Productivity Commission said that in a recent report, and everybody knows that, but they still do it. And so the question now will be, will the other side of politics match it?
Yeah, so look, first of all, let's look at the heading. Seriously, what sort of a heading is that? Why couldn't they put in there, my one's bigger than yours? My promise is bigger than yours. All those people out there with dirty minds, or tit for tat. Let's call it for what it is.
But reading
briefly, and obviously it's not policy, it's not it's not mandated, it's not etched in stone, but But just on the surface, there are a couple of things. I feel to counter this, because remember the advice that we gave ScoMo for the federal election. He got outbid. He got outdone with the promises that Alba made. So he lost the election because he didn't listen and didn't watch our show. But I know that Dom, our mate Dom Perrottet, he watches our show. So this is my friendly advice to Dom. Listen, you got to up the ante on this. And he's got a how the stamp duty land tax policy there is just with regards to first home buyers. I reckon he should stretch that to anybody that's going to buy a home up to $1.5 million. What do you reckon, Mark? Is that an election winner or what?
Well, just bribe a few more people. If you bribe enough people, then you're going to win. Blooming obvious, isn't it, really? Bit of bribery. Never hurt anybody.
Come on. You're telling me that the previous election there wasn't any bribes thrown around? What happened to
it? No, I'm telling you there always have been. It's just that it's even more blatant this time. And, of course, if you think about the weight of numbers, there are a number of first-time buyers who would like to get into the market. But there's a much bigger cadre of people who would like to be able to buy a different property. So if you really want to win the next election, what you do is you extend the aperture for the support, right, for all those people trading up and trading down. It's obvious.
Yeah, exactly. Look, how many – you got to ask yourself, how many votes are in the rental market or the first-time buyer arena in comparison to investors, right?
Yeah.
So who's got the biggest numbers? So, look, any investors are itching to jump in, given the right incentives, they will jump in, because where else do they put their money? Where else can they leverage? Yeah, we could talk about interest rates going up. We can talk about further pain to come and so forth. But there's going to be a sweet spot, right? And predominantly because there are a lot of issues around construction at the moment. Nothing of substance is being built. So that's the thing. The other the other thing that I wanted to ask you, man, is your understanding of this new of what Labor's trying to do, is that also on secondary properties or just new? Because we do have something around the new properties, or do you see that, is that right across the board from anywhere up to 800 zero stamp duty up to a million concession?
It doesn't look to me as though it's specifically targeted at new properties. So that would actually suggest to me that existing properties being purchased could also be included. So that would increase the aperture a bit more. But it's difficult to know, right? Because this is more a thought bubble, I think, than a full policy.
Yeah, well, then the second option, tip for Dom is, throw in a car, throw in a Tesla.
No, free chicken.
Well, with my prediction of eggs going to $20 a dozen, you're going to need one, Martin.
Exactly.
Don't laugh at the chickens.
No. But then, we're not over yet. Here's another one. New South Wales Labor vows changes to rules on pets in rentals. Evictions ahead of 2023 state election. So how about that one then?
It is an interesting one, but obviously the article talks about a rental commissioner. Putting in place a rental commissioner. There's a think tank going on at the moment, but I feel it's going to be a big administrative nightmare. It's also talking about throwing things out there of 21 days for the landlord to make up his mind, or basically the rental property is yours. I mean, how crazy is that? First of all, people that are applying to move into rental properties, they will move in a rental property within 7 days.
Yep.
10 days, 14 days is unheard of right now. They want the property. They want to move in. They'll pay double rent as long as they can get into a further 12-month fixed contract, just as they can stay in the area or be where they want to be, right? Or they've reached it's a price point that they can enter into. So that's the first thing. And secondly. The tribunal, NCAT, there's such a backlog in hearings before how are you going to take the property managers to task? You've got to make lodge a complaint. That takes 2 weeks to go, 2 to 3 weeks. Then you've got to go into a formal hearing. If nothing's sorted out in the first hearing, then it'll go to a formal hearing. That's an application. That could happen. 6 weeks down the track. I mean, this is insane. It really, there's not much thought happening here. Look, the idea is a good idea. The encouragement is in order to encourage landlords is good. But I feel, and my involvement in the industry as a property manager for 18 years of my 25, 27 years in the industry, is that a lot of this comes back to the property, the bad job the property managers do and have done, particularly over the last 20 years, Martin, where we've lost really good property managers. Yep. Because of business owners, licensees cutting down on wages, cutting down, and also overworking the really good senior property managers. And now what they've got is they've got people that have just left high school and got nowhere else to go, and they say, "Oh, gee, I've become a property manager. That seems like a good idea." They've got no people skills. They're not attentive. And I've always said, and there are articles, people can Google my articles from years gone by, where I've written about the fact that a lot of the issues that landlords have with tenants with pets stems more from the lackadaisical and the bad property management service than it does from the pet itself, right? Because on top of that, there's also insurances that people can claim. As I said, I've been involved in property management, was involved in property management for about 18 years. And I could count on one hand the issues that I had with renters with pets. And even those issues that I can count on one hand were mitigated and sorted out before we ended up in tribunal. And one of the two that ended up in the tribunal was fixed and sorted by insurance anyway.
Yeah, good point. And the other interesting observation, again, this is just anecdotal. I was talking to somebody the other day who actually runs holiday lets, and they actually specifically let their houses out to pet owners. The reason, because their belief is that pet owners tend to be more careful with the property than people without pets. So they actually think that they get a better quality of visitor by going for people with pets, which I think is really interesting.
Oh, look, it is. And there's an article there on Domain when I used to, when I was a contributor in Domain in Sydney Morning Herald, where I did an article tongue in cheek where I actually said that I found it more pleasurable renting with people with pets than with people with kids.
yeah, exactly. Well, let's go and talk about the numbers, right? Because the numbers are up a bit.
Look, they are a little bit. They have moved a little. At least we're not going backwards. Mm. But it's still early days. It's still early days in the month and also the week. But yeah, they've gone up a little bit. Give me a hundred and what that's.
14,621 on the 9th compared with 14,474 on the 2nd. So a small increase.
Yeah, about 160 there, up there. Yeah, it's slightly up. What's interesting there is Melbourne have crept down. They've come down a bit.
Yeah, so Melbourne on the 9th was 22,855. And on the 2nd of the 1st, so earlier, 23,101. So Melbourne's lost a few.
Yeah, it lost a few. But I think that's more from there was more activity in Melbourne than there was in Sydney. The open house inspections, I mean, as we were driving around and my colleagues, I was getting feedback from them as well. They were saying that the open for inspections were mostly dead. It was the agents welcomed you with big grins from year to year because they were glad to see somebody.
Anybody. We're not proud. We'll see anybody.
Yeah, we'll see anybody. Exactly. And I guess then you got Brisbane, the same. They've also come up and they dropped a little bit as well. So again, a little bit more activity in those areas than in Sydney. I think we're a little bit more lazy. But look, it's going to be. I think the litmus test is going to be more in the middle of February to see how the numbers are really going to track. And yeah, fingers crossed that we don't end up with the 2021 numbers and people don't hold back. But there will be some suburbs in Sydney where people are going to hold back, because that is the consensus amongst the conversations that we've been having with real estate agents. And they are, as I've shared before, these are agents that are also looking for a side hustle, because with their listing numbers cut by 30 to 50%, they just can't make ends meet.
No, it's interesting, because I've also been speaking to a few individuals who are taking a longer holiday block as well. So because of all the COVID and everything else, so there are more people still away. And quite a few people will be away until late January. So I think we won't really know what's going on until we get into February.
No, but nonetheless, they do start to paint a picture. We'll see. As I said, hopefully in Sydney we're going to see this the numbers turn around. Mm. Otherwise we're going to be juggling balls again. We're going to have to, our buyers are going to have to make decisions and see whether they, but at the end of the day, as I always say, you and I always say, is you always buy with an upside.
Yep.
Don't pay for somebody else's renovation. Don't pay the premium. Try to look at the upside. If you can't see an upside, well, then what are you doing? Because the economy is not going to get any better. I mean, some economists are saying that, we're not going to see a recession. Others are saying we will. Others are saying we're going to skim close to one. But at the end of the day, the cost of living is getting very, 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 very expensive. And numbers such as rentals aren't really being costed into the numbers to determine whether or not we're in a recession. It's ludicrous. How the numbers can be juggled. What they can do with the numbers and not really have a true indication of what the pain and the issues that people are going through on the at grassroots levels.
No, it's a good point, and I guess we'll see how it plays out. And just on the auction stats, just to complete the picture, a little bit more activity. Apart from Queensland, it went backwards slightly, so I don't know quite what's going on really.
Yeah, well, that again. One of the predictions that I put out is, we're going to see 20-25% less sales by auction this year than we did last year. And so far, again, it's early days. It's only very, very early days. But I'm just not getting the vibe. Really, not getting the vibe, Martin. We are going to see a lot more underquoting, however. In regards of transactions or agents being cocky to take properties out to market, I don't see it. Not at least in the first quarter. But again, we'll see how these trends and how the numbers pick up. I mean, we've been keeping tabs on the numbers. You and I have been keeping tabs on the numbers for the last two and a half years anyway. So we can sort of double back to previous years and see how they fared, as well as again as we get to the middle of February.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when I've had a number of people send me examples of underquoting, where considerable movement in the price of the property. So underquoting is alive and well, and of course that was one of your 20 predictions, which along with a few others seem to be coming true.
Look, they are, Martin. This is the scary thing. I mean, I don't want all 20 to come to pass. But it's setting up there. I mean, the government will introduce. I mean, I thought that it was going to take till the end of the first quarter. But look, they beat me to that one. It's already up and going. All these incentives being thrown at the property arena. It's crazy.
They've been watching the show, Edwin. You've given them an idea.
Exactly. I'll be giving them too many ideas. Our followers are going to beat me up next time they see me out in the open for inspections. Look, drugs and hydroponic labs are going to be on the increase, and that's what I've been hearing reports of in the last over the last 24-48 hours. I mean, there was a bust in Hunter Street over in Strathfield, in a rental property there where they, I think they got something like 5 kilos of methamphetamine and cocaine, you know, that Colombian gold. So, and I think $1 million in cash or something like that. That was probably 2 million, but they only report back 1 million. It's happening. It's sad, yeah, but it's happening. Yeah, underquoting will rise in Melbourne and Sydney. Look, this is the nature of this beast. Not being in this industry long enough to understand that this is when desperate times will demand desperate measures from the industry.
Yep.
And this is where they will many will put the $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 fines. They'll basically take the risk and underquote because they're desperate. These are also people. These are people. This is people that are relying on commissions, because if there's no commission, if there's no sale, there's no commission, and if there's no sale, no commission. It usually goes to the second agent to sell when there's a lot. When the transactions are going to be slow, and they've got this fear of missing out, so that they'll do whatever it takes. Unfortunately, I mean, desperate people will do all sorts of desperate things. And obviously, was it China number 19, which was after the podcast that I put out? Number 19 was where the WeChat chatterers believe that 2023 is the year where China's going to walk into Taiwan. So, and it's with the conversations, what's shared on social media from there, what briefly shared on WeChat from mainland China and so forth. The people there are saying it looks like 2023 is the year. And then again, mainstream media reports and so forth are basically saying, asking the question, if should China do so, is the West going to interfere? And some would think, some are the belief that the West won't interfere and it's going to happen. So there's a lot of dynamics happening. But how does this, I guess, why are we sharing this? Why do we talk about this? We talk about this because it impacts our property arena. It impacts our markets, particularly in the real estate sector, in the construction sector, which also has, turning door effect on a revolving door effect on the decisions that people have got to make, whether it be, as I said, whether it be purchasing, selling, or even renting or moving, relocating, where do they go? Because a lot of these things are going to influence. Because if you're a real estate agent, or if you're about to rely on a real estate agent that looks just as what's happening in his neck of the woods, his or her neck of the woods, or patch, as they call it, and if that's all they're looking at, well, you've got to think twice whether or not that is the proper agent that you're going to sell your property to sell, to take to market. Are they really going to achieve the optimum price based on all these other scenarios and all these other events that are happening around the world, which will influence the price of your property, whether it be in Chatswood, whether it be in Mount Druitt, Plumpton, or Liverpool, Ingleburn, Barton Ridge or wherever. You've got to look at all these things.
No, I agree, and it's fascinating to me that a lot of the mainstream commentary at the moment is purely on the trajectory of house prices. So CoreLogic came out with their latest, never seen such big falls, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, right? But there's no real richness to the conversation, some of these underlying factors that we've been touching on, which are really important to understand the real dynamics and the differences of dynamics in different areas. But all we get is this bold, well, it depends what the RBA does with interest rates doing this, that, and the other, and then the interest rate cliff, and then property prices are going up or down or sideways. Of course, Lou Christopher thinks property prices are going to recover in the next few months. So it's quite fascinating just watching how, myopic a lot of the conversations are.
Yeah, look, and I was chatting with Louis Christopher earlier today, and we're talking about the CoreLogic figures. And one of the things that we were talking about was the fact that they're saying that they're calling falls of property price falls on Christmas. I mean, bullshit. In terms of, I'm talking that their figure. I'm not saying that they did fall or they didn't fall. I'm just calling bullshit on what they're reporting, because they're saying that they get their information directly from real estate agents, and hence the reason why they can come up with on the day or on the week scenarios. Mm. When you and I know that it's it would take the best case scenario, even given it to CoreLogic, is in my opinion is 72 days before you come back with some real data, some real figures. And again, we say it's a broad brush approach. So we were just having a laugh about that with Louis earlier today as well. But you just got to be careful how you split the data, how you look at the data, where the data source is from, what others are saying. You can't just look at and rely on one individual or one data house or one social media platform or group that you belong to in Facebook. You could be really led astray, particularly in 2023. This is where it's going to be more critical than 2020 and 2021.
Well, I'll tell you something. I don't know whether you've noticed this, but the News Corporation media streams no longer refer to CoreLogic at all. They only now use PropTrack in their discussions, or they can talk about the others, but they are not allowed to refer to CoreLogic data at all in any of their outlets. So that's quite an interesting observation.
Well, remember when was it? Was it 19? I think it was 19 when we were reporting on the fact that real estate. REA were not going to be feeding CoreLogic with the data, and that's where they came up with their own built their own platform.
Yeah,
call your girlfriend. Narada.
Come on, she's at Ray White's now. So.
Yeah, I know she's at Ray White, but she'll give you the
But what's interesting, of course, that REA is the curly bracket around PropTrack, right? But REA is owned by News Corp. So the whole thing is actually connected from top to bottom. So, you've got to say, how objective is the data set and how objectively will the data set be presented by, News Corp or the other media outlets as well? It's an interesting question, right? So it goes back to what you said. Don't take any one stream of information as gospel, compare and contrast and look at different ones, and just be a little bit careful with these, because there's a few little question marks that I think we should be asking about some of those data points.
Look, definitely, and I tell you what I noticed in last year, already talking about last year, throughout 2020, throughout from the beginning to the end of 2022, all the buyers, the majority of the buyers that we were dealing with, they had some real swanky spreadsheets that they would share with us regularly, and we would look at, and we would compare and check this and check that, and gee, that it was so much information, so much that they gathered from just attending open houses even before they engaged us. So it was rather interesting. So if there was a site that could collate and could all that could be collaborated into, that would be amazing. Would be something that a lot of people could use, because it's from basically going out there talking face to face with agents, looking at property, looking at this, looking at that, and then forming opinions and forming ideas. Look, the internet is such a big machine now, and I'm sure. I'm sure maybe I should tweet it out to Elon Musk, and maybe he could come up with something. Maybe he could add something onto Twitter. I mean, that would make Twitter more valuable than what it is now, wouldn't it?
Well, they seem to be making it less valuable than it was, but that's another story. Hey, look, let's talk about Blacktown before we finish tonight, right? Because Blacktown will never let you down, will they?
No, Blacktown, what's a conspiracy? Is it wacky when you... is it wacky when it's not a conspiracy, or is the conspiracy wacky when it's true? I mean, I'm literally confused about this whole thing. But one thing for sure is, conspiracy's been wacky the whole bit. It's all somewhat confusing, but Blacktown never ceases to impress. And first cab off the rank, as we're doing our, you could say the first real working day back in 2023, and right in your face is 55 All Wall Street Blacktown. They got a guide of $800,000 when this property was bought back in 2016 for $725,000. I mean, seriously, these agents have got to learn, and they're going to learn the lesson hard in 2023. If they continue to, and if they persist to underquote, as I believe will happen, unfortunately, they're going to learn the realization that vendors, sooner than later, will start taking real estate agents to task and will start suing real estate agents that promise them a high return. But when the property market's falling, and they're trying to use this, I don't know what they're trying to use, so-called reverse psychology of trying to get people there at a lower price, it comes to a point where people are not wanting to pay more. If they do, it's very nominal what they pay above the guide. In a falling market, generally they want to pay anywhere between 5% and 10% below the guide anyway. So it's going to work against the agents. It's going to work against the vendors, which are going to be the ones that are going to be losing tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. But look, this is where vendors are going to hopefully wake up and take their agents to task when the properties don't achieve the values that they got told that they were going to achieve by playing silly buggers with the general public.
Yeah, and just to be clear, the current guide is what?
The current guide is $800,000.
Yes.
So, look, like property in the area, and this is unique. This property is unique that it's got a studio, a one-bedroom studio at the back. Mm. It's been there since 2016. I could only imagine that it's council approved because it's all advertised. If it wasn't council approved, the ad would read a little bit differently. So that's an extra income for a party that moves in. Now we look at like property in the area, even closer to Christmas last year, nothing of similar stature in South Blacktown would have sold for less than 950. So even if you said, okay, a bit more fear, a bit more reluctance of people wanting to pay that sort of money now, it's not going to sell. I don't believe it'll be on the market, for less than 900,000. Yep. But it's in your face sort of stuff. But yep. When you look at the other data, Martin,
So let's just be really, really clear on here, Edwin. So basically, the guide on the portal is 800, but the chances are that it's unlikely to sell for less than 900. It's probably going to be above 900, right?
Yeah, and I doubt whether the owner will give the agent the green light to let it go at 900.
Yeah. So what's the sort of rule of thumb as to how close the guide should be to the prospective sale price?
Okay. The rule of thumb, when we're talking about underquoting, right? Mm. The rule of thumb is that it all goes back to the agency agreement. It all goes back to the document that people sign in order for an agent to take carriage of the sale of the property, right? To legally take carriage of the sale of the property and negotiate on behalf of the vendor with potential buyers. And in the agency agreements, whether it's an auction agency agreement, exclusive, open, co-listing, whatever, there's a section there that the agent must put in there what they feel, what they believe is the achievable price on the day, right? And you can't be, the regulations say that you can't be further than 10% from that guide, yep. Whether it be up or down, okay?
Yeah.
So now, but obviously, look, the trend and what they're taught in these power real estate industry conferences, what they get taught is price it low, watch it go. They get taught to convince the vendors. They'll say to the vendor, look, we're going to get you 950,000 because we are going to create urgency, and urgency is created particularly in a downward market or in any market, urgency is created when you see a lot of people turning up to the open for inspections and a lot of people turning up to, you know, on the day of the auction, right? Because you're thinking, shit, there's a lot of people that want this house. They want it just as much, if not more than what I want, that I want to pay for it because it is undervalued. So it's deceptive and misleading marketing because they're saying we're theoretically going to be within 10% of that. So it could run up to 880, and the agent is safe. Mm. I mean, okay, but this is where I see it over and over again, and a lot of our viewers will see it over and over again is when it reaches 10%, 15%, and in some cases in previous years, our followers on Twitter or on YouTube, our followers and our viewers would have been gobsmacked when agents are turning around to the auctioneers, are turning around to the selling agents and saying, are we on the market yet? When the property is what, 15, 20% above the guide already, yep. And they're still asking for instructions.
Yep.
See, this yep. is, but the letter of the law goes back to what's written in the agency agreement. And this is what happens in the conferences that the real estate industry puts together for the, for the selling agents. Obviously, it's not, it's very hard to get, very hard to obtain those documents. But it basically teaches you, in a nutshell, it teaches you to get the vendor on side in order to try and manipulate the marketing campaign in order to create that urgency, get more people there. That's mm-hmm. unfortunately, hence the reason why Enzo, about 5-6 years ago, the REIV president the Victoria Real Estate Institute, REIV Victoria, he said, it's the vendors that make the agents do it. Right. So he wasn't telling a lie. It's really in a lot of the cases, it's the agent colluding with a vendor or tricking the vendor to collude with them in order to do. Hence the reason why Fair Trading got on. But they haven't stopped it because I've seen agency agreements that have got no price in there, and the agents will fill that out post auctions. And so forth. I mean, there's so much going on. There's so many loopholes in the whole in the way that this is all orchestrated. It's just a farce. Again, unless Fair Trading go out into the offices and attend the auctions, they're really not much going to happen. Not unless the new government, whether it be the elected government. Whether it be the Libs or the Labs, really fund Fair Trading this term around and really start doing something about it. It's not going to change. It's only going to get worse.
Oh, I don't think they will for a second. And, of course, it's just reminding everybody that an agent makes money when a transaction is made at whatever point in price, right? So whatever they may say about whose interest they're serving their own interests to get a transaction, to get a commission. That's their motivation.
Otherwise, it'll go to the next agent after the auction because the agency agreement ceases and expires.
Exactly. Well, but as we come to the end of the show, you have a tip, which is a very important tip, actually.
Yeah, look, the tip is simple. Be kind with renters with pets. As we shared earlier on, most of the problems arise not with renters that have pets, but with poor property management agents or services because they're not conducting the regular inspections and not assisting the owners of the properties of the landlords with adequate insurance, and that's what I've found in my 18 years. So be kind if you are a landlord and watch our show, be kind. And the other thing is what I've also seen for many years, Martin, is that where you've got properties that are pet friendly. The renters not only look after the properties a lot better, but also they're prepared to pay a hell of a lot more than your standard rate anyway.
Yep, absolutely. Very good point. Well, Edwin, thank you once again. Very important conversation. And as we move into this new year, we'll see how things pan out. Plenty to talk about next week. So let's keep pushing forward, seeing what happens to those listings, see what happens to the underquoting. And for those out there, keep sending us underquoting examples, and we'll incorporate them into future conversations on our Monday rant. Thanks, Edwin. See you next time.
Thank you very much, man. All the best.
See ya. Bye-bye.